All right. How are y'all doing tonight? All right. All right. Hey, listen, we are going to talk about a very fun subject tonight. And really, for the next few weeks, y'all, some of y'all are like, no. I think it's going to be great, y'all, and I'm excited to walk through this with y'all. We are going to be talking about redeeming dating. Redeeming dating. Really quick, the word redeem, it kind of has this idea of like to take something back, to get something back, to get something and bring it back. And specifically, what we're talking about with redeeming dating, what we're essentially talking about is, hey, dating is a thing where obviously we know what dating is, but dating is something that is normal in our society. And it's something, though, that we want to bring it back. And when I say bring it back, I mean bring it under the authority of God's word, right? Like a lot of times with not just dating, but with anything in life, what we do, if whatever the thing is, whether it be dating, whether it be how we handle money, whether it be just any other relationships in life, whatever that thing is, let's imagine that that thing is this table. A lot of times what we do is we put that thing over God's word. We put it over the authority of what God's word says. And what I would love for us to do, not just with dating, but really with everything, is do this. Like, let's let God's word speak first, and let's look at all things in life and let God's word be the authority of all those things. Cool? So that's what we're going to do with this subject. But let me do this first. I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to talk a little bit about this tonight. And then tonight's going to be interesting. We're not going to go to life groups. After I'm done we're talking through some of these things, we are going to actually split up guys and girls. The girls are going to go to the youth room, and the guys are going to go upstairs in room 204, 205B. If you don't know where those are, just follow everybody in your gender, and you'll get there. But let me pray for us, y'all, and then we'll get through it. Father, we love you, and we thank you, God, for this night you've given us. God, I thank you so much for each and every single person in this room. Father, we pray that you would bless this time, that you would soften our hearts, that you would remove distractions, that you would deepen our love for you, God, and that you would change us, Lord, and help us to live in such a way that is pleasing and glorifying to you, because that is why we are alive. We thank you for this life you've given us, Lord. May you watch over us and be with us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. All right, so as you think about this topic of dating, y'all, here's what I want y'all to do. I want you, even, and I'm telling you this right now so you can be thinking, I want you to think about questions you may have. Like, what are some questions you may have about this subject of dating? I know when I was in high school, I had a lot of different questions. And at that time of my life, I was not going to God's word to answer those questions. And I know, for example, like when I was in high school, ninth grade came, and I went to Grassfield High School, and just like is normal, you're in class with somebody, and you're like, wow, I'm talking to the guys here. Wow, she's cute. I want to date her, right? And so you go through that process, right? It's like she's got mutual feelings, and we start dating and stuff. And of course, like 2 months later, it's kaboom, and it's awful. And 10th grade comes along, and start dating a different girl. And it's like exciting. It's fun. It's the best, right? For like a week or two. And then she doesn't text you back or whatever. And you're like, oh no, it's going to explode. But then she texts you back and you're like, oh, I'm happy again. And it's just like literally this up and down roller coaster. And it's like miserable, you know? And then I got out of that relationship, and really it was like it was so good for me to be out of it. It was awful. Like the relationship was awful. For me, I had no business dating somebody at that time in my life. And I remember from 10th grade to senior year, I didn't date any girl. I wasn't dating anybody. And I remember even in that time of being single, just feeling so much pressure, like to date. I don't know if y'all have ever felt that before. It's just like this burden, like, oh, what is wrong with me? Like, why can't I get a girlfriend, right? Like, this stinks. Because you see other people, I saw other people have girlfriends, other people in relationships, and I felt like you know, there was something wrong with me. And I started looking, and it was like something I started striving for. And then senior year comes, and it's almost like, you know, God shut every door. And looking back, it was hard for me, and it was difficult for me. But also, I see one of the most amazing blessings of God in my life to shut some of those doors. For things that I was trying, like, with all my might to make it work out. Ladies, have you ever been there? You try to make something work out. Fellas, y'all too, have you ever tried to make something work out? Like, I tried with all my might to make it work out, and it just didn't work out. And again, at the time, it was brutal. It was, you know, I hated it. But again, looking back, I see it as just one of God's just most amazing graces to me, and his love for me, just protecting me. And I want to say this. There's a lot of y'all who just have different ideas about dating. Some of y'all have parents who talk to you about this stuff, and you're like, you're ready for it. You're ready to navigate these different questions that we're going to talk about. Some of y'all are just now, perhaps for the first time, thinking about it. Others of you, maybe you're already dating. And what we're trying to do in this series is not shame anybody about anything. What we're going to try to do, though, for all of us is just let's talk about this subject. It's a real subject, true. Let's talk about it. Let's look to see what God's word says. And then let's grow and let's seek to live in such a way that pleases Christ. So before we do, before we dive into this subject, there's three things, y'all, that we have to look at before we go into this, into these separate groups and really get into the nitty-gritty about dating. There's three things that I think are important for us, because if we don't understand these three things, then everything we talk about upstairs is going to be useless. And perhaps even worse than useless, it's going to be dangerous for us. Like, as Christians, we do not just want to be about rules for the sake of being rules. That's legalism. Legalism is, hey, do this because it's the right thing to do and you need to do it, and because don't do the other stuff because that's bad. Like, no. Being a Christian is more about what can I do with my life that will please Christ? Knowing what God has done for me, how can I live in such a way to please him and to love him? And so these three things that I want y'all to see, the first one before we talk about this subject is that we have to know the gospel. We have to understand the gospel. And if you don't know what the gospel is, to put it in a sentence for you, the gospel is the amazing good news about how God can reconcile us, sinful people, back to himself because of what Jesus has done for us. And in a sense, what that means is that we, when we enter in this world, we all have this problem of sin, and we have a sinful nature, right? And this sinful nature, something that we all have, even if you're in Christ, we still wrestle with it. But this sinful nature is what is in us that makes us prone not to follow God, not to obey him, not to love him, not to worship him. Have you ever wondered why it's hard to live in such a way that's pleasing to him? Because it is hard. It's because we have a sinful nature. And the Bible says that our sin problem is a huge problem. It's not a small thing, but it's actually this massive thing. And the reason why it's such a big deal is because it has separated us from the God of the universe, from our Creator, from the one who made us in his image. Our sin has separated us from him, from the one who is perfect and holy and good. And the big problem about sin is that nothing you or I can do, we can't climb up this mountain to try to get our way back to God. Like, I can't be good enough to be saved. Same thing with you. No one in this room can be good enough to be saved. That's impossible. The Bible says if you ever in your whole life, if you've stumbled in just one point, you're guilty of breaking all of God's law. And so we find ourselves in this hopeless situation, and it is hopeless in and of ourselves. But the good news of the gospel is that God came to us, that God in his love and mercy, in his grace, in his compassion, God wants to rescue us. And so God comes to us in Jesus, and Jesus lives a sinless life, one that we could not live. He dies on the cross to pay the price for our sins. And what I mean by that specifically is that God and Jesus, the Son of God, he suffered the punishment for sin that you and I deserved. The punishment for sin that all people have fallen into, Jesus suffered that punishment. And he suffered it so to give us a way out. And so he dies on the cross to pay the price for our sin, and he rises from the dead 3 days later so that anybody who repents of their sins, that means that if we turn from our sins and we trust in Christ, we can be saved. And so my first question to you, something we have to get is, do you get that first? Do you understand the good news of the gospel? Because everything that we're about to talk about upstairs about this subject of dating, ignore every word of it if you have not first turned from your sins and placed your trust in Jesus. That's where salvation is. That's what we're about. Because everything we talk about upstairs is about living a Christian life. How can we live a Christian life? And so the first point is we have to be a Christian. We have to be a Christian. So we have to know the gospel. The second thing that I want you to see is that we have to understand what God has done for us who are Christians. Meaning if you're in this room here and you have turned from your sins and placed your trust in Jesus, that you're an actual follower of him, if that is you, understand what the Bible says about you. First of all, the Bible says that you were dead, but that you've been brought to life. That's good news, true? You were dead, but you've been brought to life. The second thing is that we were lost, the Bible says, that we were lost. But if you're in Christ, you've been found. And the third thing is that the Bible says we were blind, but now we see. The Bible says we were enemies of God, but now we're children of God. Like, that is so amazing. I entered into this world as an enemy of God. You say, well, that's a little extreme, Blake. What do you mean? Were you a Satanist or something? No, what I mean is that in my sin, the Bible says we are hostile to God. There's no such thing, y'all, as being neutral with God. Everybody on planet Earth is one of two. We are either followers of Christ or we are those who reject God as King and Creator and Lord, and therefore we are enemies of him. That's what the Bible says. But the good thing is that if we're in Christ, he's adopted us into his family. We are his children. And then the last thing, if you're a Christian in here, this is amazing news that we don't have to look towards death as the point in time in which we'll be separated from God for all eternity in hell. But if we're in Christ, we have the hope of eternal life. I don't know about you, but death is a frightening thing to me. Death can be frightening. But the hope that I have is that when that moment does come, and it will for all of us unless Jesus returns, when that moment comes, I have the promise because of what Christ has done. I get to have eternal life with him in paradise, walking with Jesus forever and ever. So that is what God has done for us who are Christians. And then the last thing that we have to grasp is what does it actually mean now to be a follower of Christ? What does it mean to be a Christian? The first thing is that if you're a Christian, you're somebody who knows God. And when I say knows God, I don't mean know like you would say or like I would say, hey, I know Taylor Swift. I don't mean that kind of know. What I mean know is like I know my wife. There's a difference there, right? Like I know about Taylor Swift. I know who she is. I could tell you maybe one fact about her. I don't know much. But I could tell you a whole lot about my wife. I know her. I have a relationship with her. Not a surface level relationship, but a deep, committed relationship that consists of us doing life together. So as a Christian, we're somebody who has a relationship with him. We walk with him. The Bible says, John 17:3, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. One of my favorite verses is Philippians 3:8. Paul says, he says, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. As a Christian, we're people who know him. We have a relationship with him. And then also a Christian is somebody who loves God. Now, loving him, I don't mean like we are perfect. I don't mean that we never, ever sin. Of course we do. But we are people who live our lives to please him. My wife, for example, we've been married. Oh, I need to know this. Oh, goodness. Four years. March 27th of 2020 was when me and my wife got married. We got married in my parents' backyard. Fun fact. So me and my wife, right? If I take my wife on a date, for example, or if I bring my wife flowers, for example, am I taking her on a date so that she'll stay married to me? Am I giving her flowers because I don't want her to divorce me? No. I'm giving her these things because I know it pleases her. And why from my heart do I want to please her? Because I love her. Because I love her. So it's similar in our relationship with God. We want to please Christ, not to earn his love, not so that he won't abandon us or forsake us, but we seek to please him with our entire lives because of our love for him, because of his love for us. And so here's this question that I want y'all to ask. Eyes right here. I want you to ask this question when it comes to everything in your life, every aspect of your life, including the subject of dating. As a follower of Christ, we have to ask this question. What is most pleasing to Christ? What is most pleasing to Christ? So your questions, as you're thinking about questions to ask about this subject, ask yourself, what is most pleasing to Christ? What is most pleasing to him? A Christian is someone who lives to honor, to obey him because of love for him. And then the third thing you see, and this is so closely tied with obeying God, is that a Christian is someone who obeys him out of love for him. And so what does it mean to obey him? What is a question that you can constantly ask yourself in your mind to seek to obey him? Well, we have to ask ourselves, what does our Lord say? As a follower of Christ, Jesus is your king. I am not the king of my life. And when I try to be the king of my life, I'm sinning. I'm sinning. And same thing for us. As a Christian, Jesus is the king of our life. And so as king, think about how we would treat an earthly king. Well, our heavenly king, who's perfect, who's good, who's holy, whose every single word to us is good, it is not a burden, we have to submit to it. We have to come under his authority. John 14:15. I love this verse. If you have your Bible, look at this verse. I'm going to flip to it. John 14:15. This is Jesus speaking. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Do you want to know how you see how much somebody loves God? Do you want to know how to figure that out? Is it, do they raise their hands or not raise their hands in worship? No. Is it that they never mess up? Ever? Well, no. We all sin. All have sinned. Even Paul said, I'm the worst of the worst. But you can measure your love for Christ by your obedience to Christ. Our obedience to him is the extent to which we love God. Like, one of the things that's sad today is I hear so many people say, hey, I love God, Blake. I love him, but I'm just living for myself. You know what the Bible would say about that? The Bible would say you're a liar. You're a liar if that's you. Somebody who loves God, according to Christ, is somebody who seeks to obey him in everything. That is what somebody does. And then the last thing we see about what it means to be a Christian is that we are committed to live a holy life. A holy life. Well, what does that word holy mean? I want you to think about the word holiday. What's a holiday? My favorite holiday is Christmas, right? But if you think about the word holiday, a holiday is a day in the year that is set apart. It's a day that is different than the rest. It's a day that is unique. It's special. And think about the word holiday. What two words do you see in the word holiday? You see holy day. And so when we say that we are called to live a holy life, the Bible says 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. Look there. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. I want you to see what he says. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. As obedient children, do not be conformed, meaning don't go in line, to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Verse 16. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. So as Christians, if we're in Christ, this is our desire. And so for you in this room, who it is your desire to live a holy life, that's what our goal is. Our goal is to live a holy life, not to earn God's love, but because of his love. Does that make sense? That's what we're going to try to do tonight. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray for us, and then I'm going to have everybody go ahead and put your seats up after I'm done praying. And then, guys, again, we're going to all go upstairs, and we're going to go into 204-205B, which is on this side of the hallway. And then the girls, y'all are going to go to the youth room, which is on that side of the hallway. Cool? And when we get up into our workshops, y'all, we're going to dive more in depth into now this subject of dating. All right? And I want y'all to bring your questions, because we want to answer your questions and talk about that tonight. Cool? All right, let me pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you, God, for the gospel. We thank you, God, for your love for us. And Lord, now out of love for you, because of what you have done for us, Father, I pray that you would help us see dating through the lens of the Bible, that we would seek to let your word be how we live our lives, that we would come under it, that we would submit to it. Lord, you are trustworthy. Your commandments are not burdensome to us, Father. Help us to see that tonight. And Lord, help us to live in a way that pleases you, Lord. We know that we fall short. So, Lord, we thank you for your amazing mercy and grace to us. We thank you, Jesus, for what you did for us. Please bless our time tonight. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.